This Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino calls them as they sees them, and you better believe them. Here! Relevant news, biased opinions, and outright bullshit regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! Yes. Mechanical trickery never before revealed over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Chris and Ray cuss each other down the track and barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disaster as they shake hands with the devil! All that and much more this Sunday at high noon on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and live feed, Chris Switzer and Ray Garino. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free. Every Sunday at noon on WHPC. Take the Long Island Expressway to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the sign saying no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass. Sunday!
You could talk to the creature, talk to the feature, or you could talk to the Motormouths, because you've tuned in to Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show and soiree jamboree here on Long Island with your host, Ray Guarino, and my esteemed host and suave, Rico Suave over here, Chris Switzer. How are you, Chris?
Strap on those boots, because you won't believe you're going to be stepping into this week, that's for sure. I'm doing well, Ray. How are you?
Excellent on this dreary, rainy weekend. Yeah.
What was that tune you were playing at the beginning of the show?
That is again from my my hit list collection. That's called "That's the Way a Woman Is." Played that for
mentioning
you.
Mentioning creatures? And, oh, boy.
Yeah, and it is, just so people know, it's by the Messengers. It was from 1971. Wow. It was on the Rare Earth label, and it charted 62nd. On the good old charts back then, and it's a minute 55 seconds long.
Son of a gun. Wow. Well, thank you, Casey Kasem.
Yes. Here on your weekend hits countdown, your holiday weekend hits countdown, we're doing the best
we can. That's right. But we're not talking about music. We're talking about finances. We're not talking about finances. We're talking about vehicles.
Right.
Here on this really soggy Memorial Day weekend. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's like I'm waterlogged here. I feel like I'm growing gills, for crying out loud. It's really a little messy up here in the Northeast.
Yes, it is.
That's for sure.
Yes, it is.
That is for sure. It is just so we've been spending a lot of time trying to figure out what to do with the vehicles in the garage this time. You know what I had to do this week? Just want to bring this up. You know, when you think about all of the advanced, what would you say, automotive repairs and diagnoses and improvements that we do on cars, do you know what the biggest fear I have that I've overcome this week?
No. What's that?
The rear window windshield wiper.
Okay. We can talk about that. I have some experience.
Have you ever changed one of these things before?
Oh, my goodness. You're talking about the blade itself or the motor?
The blade itself. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're absolutely they're horrendous.
Oh, my gosh. Now, mind you, both of them, my Mazda, I noticed the dreaded the edge of the blade was hanging down.
Yeah, right.
From the arm. You could tell anytime you see that telltale sign, you know that vehicle never gets maintained. It's usually driving behind some minivan, some guy in a Honda Pilot, whoever have you, some you know, clown shoes in one of those whatever little minivans, and you see the rubber strip hanging from, you know that that car never got an oil change, never got the tires rotated, never, nothing. You know that is just the moniker for complete lack of maintenance in any vehicle. And of course, it's on my car.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I'm going to disagree with you because my daughter's car, her RAV4, was like that. She brought it to my attention. And the issue is trying to find the replacement blade.
Oh, my God.
I've actually,
holy smokes.
I've actually written to wiper companies and complained about this. And I've taken it to social media a couple times and got nothing in return. And I'll tell you a story about my own vehicle that I just kind of told someone about on social media how I had to do it. But other people can get, people can give us their impressions, too, if they'd like, at 516-572-7440. I know we got yes. Cassie John down in Florida.
On his new computer audio system.
That's right. He's hearing us with crisp, clear stereo tones.
He's piped into his stereo now, and that's cool. He's finally got some making some headway down there, which is great. And Scotty Gossin, the guy who did our intro piece, good old Scotty from the Scotty Gossin Combo. He's out in Oregon, and my daughter said to me, "Isn't it Oregon?" I'm like, "Yeah, for us un-Oregonians, it's Oregon. For them, it's Oregon." So
it's Oregon.
Yeah, I said. So he's out there, and he said he may try and listen today if he can. So if you
very
if
cool,
you, Scotty, we are here for you.
Yes.
So yes, the Mazda with my Mazda, the 3, I actually bought one new wiper blade for that car in all the years I've had, and I had to get it from the dealer of all places, and it was $20. Yeah.
What? Why would you only buy one? I mean,
for the rear.
One rear wiper? For the
yeah.
rear.
I only have one rear wiper. Yeah. The
right,
fronts,
right, right, right.
No, the fronts are okay. You can get them anywhere. The replacement
yeah.
blades are everywhere. But the rears are not.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the RAV4 actually takes a 10-inch blade, and I was able to find that in Walmart. And I got a good, I forget what brand it was. It was a Goodyear. It was a good
wow.
brand of blade, and I found. Now, on my Toyota, it's a 9-inch, which is like, it's like a... The reason being, the spare tire is on the back door, so it comes
yes.
up.
Yes, and it has to sweep around the tire, correct?
It's not really the tire that stops it. I don't... It couldn't be. There's actually a block on the glass that stops it, and that's what shortens that blade. So 9-inch, forget about it. I actually went, I bought a 10-inch one for a RAV4, and I took it apart. I took the rubber and that metal spring that holds the rubber in,
sure,
took all
sure.
that out, cut those an inch shorter, and installed them in my original arm. And now I had a blade that works.
Wow. I was actually able to find two of them on Amazon, and I can't tell you how many offers some of these Amazon dealers would want you to buy the wiper blade with the arm itself. They think that you're going to break the arm taking the blade off.
I bet you some people do.
Yeah. They were selling them as a set, and I'm thinking, do I want to do that, or do I want to just try and go for the blade itself? Well, that's what I did. I actually went for the blade itself, but boy, when I tell you, like you said, mm-hmm, it mm-hmm. was a job trying to find the right one. And what I ended up having to do was, and mind you, there are people that are probably moaning and groaning at this point right now saying, come on, get with it. You guys work on cars. You can't do this. And it has been a job that has eluded me all these years up until this point. I had to go. Not only did I look at the Mazda and see the dripping blade, I went over to my Explorer, which is a completely different arm, a completely different setup. And I looked at that blade looked like dragon's teeth. It just looked like a bunch of spikes sticking up. Like the blade hadn't dropped yet, but it all just looked like these teeth. You knew it was going to be not effective sweeping across the rear window.
Right.
Not like I never used the silly thing, but I figured, well, let me change that one too. I had to literally remove them from the car and bring them into the house and hold them up in front of the computer on the Amazon site and go, is this the right one? Is this the right one?
Yeah.
And mind you, I couldn't figure out how to take both of them off. I had to go to YouTube.
That's why the arm breaks.
YouTube.
Now you know why they sell the arm, right?
Exactly. And YouTube. And of course, YouTube is like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do it. Pry it here, don't pry it there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So, yeah, I really felt like I was completely out of my automotive element.
Right. Right.
Changing a wiper blade.
Now, on the Mazda, the arm is, it's plastic.
Right.
And on the Toyotas, I know mine is metal. So different manufacturers did it different ways for whatever reason, and that's it is. But yeah, they are a pain in the neck. And I've like, hey, we've had these things. My Mazda's an 06. There's rear wipers since before that. I think my 78 or 79 Accord that I had a rear wiper.
Really? Yeah.
So that was probably pretty big. But so these things aren't new. Why the hell don't they have them in the wiper display? I mean, everybody's driving SUVs. Like, you know, come on. Yeah. Listen, I've taken it up with people, and like I said, I've got no answers. And I want to find someone from a wiper company. I want to get them on this show.
Yes.
And then we're going to double team that and son of a
Exactly, that dirty old rotten. Why I ought to? If I had a rock, I'd. No, but and you know, it's funny. You make me think about this now. Your FJ has three wipers in the front, doesn't it?
That's correct. The two outers are one size, and the middle one is a different size.
Oh, come on! You serious? Really?
It has a different arc to it. If you think about it, the middle one has a very short arc because it's right in the middle of the windshield. The other two have a bigger arc because they're on the outside. So yeah, two different sizes. So I have three different size wipers: the two outers, the middle, and the rear. Oh yeah,
you're in fine shape.
Well, but I'll tell you what I do. See, here you go. I make notes in my phone on my Google, on my Samsung Notes, and I can tell you right now, I have my front wipers. Two of them are 14 inch, and one of them is a 16 inch.
Oh, for crying out
loud. And the rear is a 9 inch. So I know now at a glance when I'm in the store, I fire up the phone. And then I can see exactly. And I do that with oil filters and all that stuff. Just throw it in the phone. So.
And you know what? I'm sure any given store will not have any of those wipers in stock.
Well, the 14s and the 16s, yes. I did buy those.
Oh, you did?
Actually, no. I didn't buy them in the store. Not that I couldn't. I had put a Rock Auto order together at one point for some other stuff. And I know
just
what it was.
They
sent me a thing for Rock is really cool. If you register, you know, yourself on the site and register your cars. You don't register them, you just list them. They'll send you emails occasionally for closeout stuff for your vehicle. So you'll get oil filters for like $2 a piece. I got iridium plugs for the Mazda that were going for like, what, $10 a pop in the auto parts store. I got them at like $3.50, $4 a piece or whatever.
Wow.
So the deals are really, you get air filters for like, you know, $3 because again, it's overstock stuff. And
I will try that. I have literally thought I had the greatest secret on earth. I've been shopping for that stuff at Walmart.
Oh, yeah, I
get
too.
Oil filters at Walmart. I never thought in a million years I was going to do something like this. And you'll be surprised how many times I go to the Walmart here in my Walmart in the neighborhood, and the oil, their oil, is gone.
Yes.
Gone.
The secret's out. I was just telling a guy at the shop about this, and I said, yeah, go to Walmart. It's got the best price on oil. I said, and if you look at it, they can buy it by the tractor trailer full, so they can, you know, they can bulk buy and they pass it on. And if you remember, well, two things. I don't know how far back. It was a long time ago. We had a guy on this show from General Motors, and he was a windshield wiper guy. He talked all about wipers because he had sent me a box of, like, oddball windshield wipers. You know, onesies, you know, there were no pairs. It was all different designs, the blade design, the ladder design, the bladeless design, the ladderless design. And we had him on the show, and and I figured, great, we got an in with GM, and we never got anybody else after that. But
they knew what they were getting into. They said, don't go to those guys.
They wiped us from their book.
Right. We've been successfully wiped.
But then we also had a fellow, you remember this, we had the guy on from the oil test. Heck is that device I use?
Lubriderm, Lubriproid,
Lubricheck.
Lubricheck.
Right. It's to test your oil to see if it actually needed changing. We had that fellow on a couple times, and it wasn't him. It was, well, maybe it was. No, I know we had a guy on that was from that worked at a testing laboratory.
I love when the research, you can tell when we do research and it just shines through.
Oh, yeah. We're crack. I think like we're on crack.
No. Okay. Yes, he was. No, he wasn't. Yes, he was.
I think. Anyway,
The fellow watches the Motormouth Radio host has a fight with himself.
Right. Oh, just tune in anytime. The fellow we had on, we were talking about, again, oil life and whatever and testing. And I know that he worked at a lab, where, and there's one in Jersey, where you can send them, they'll send you these vials, you fill it with oil, or you tell them what fluid it is, and they will do the chemical analysis, tell you how many parts of everything is in there. So,
correct.
Since he worked there, he had the ability to check his oil weekly, daily, hourly, whatever he wanted to do, right?
Right, and he checked your oil and he found that it was pregnant.
There you go. Right, right. So what happened was we had asked him at the end of the show. I remember I saved the question till the end because I figured if he hangs up, at least the interview's done anyway. Yeah. That's called radio programming, folks.
So, dynamic programming, yeah. Yes.
I asked him, okay, I said, one of the questions we get all the time, besides what's the best filter to buy, which is all over the internet, is what's the best oil to buy?
Right.
And, you know, we went through all the majors and blah, blah, blah. I said, and then I dropped the real question. I said, what do you use in your car? And he went,
remember this.
And he stopped.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, now here we go. Click.
Got him in a corner.
Click. And he said, I'll be honest with you. And I said, okay. And he said he went to Walmart and he buys SuperTech oil. And he said to me what I said to Bronk when Bronk said, I gotta go to Harley Davidson to buy their oil and filter. And I said, what are you kidding me? You're gonna pay twice as much for the box that says Harley Davidson? We know they're not making the filters. I'm not making the oil, but you want the branded oil. So this guy said the same thing. Walmart isn't making the oil. It's a major oil company.
Of course.
And I don't think he knew which one, but he said, I've done the tests and it tests just like all the majors do. And I said, wow. So it took me a long time to buy. I bought SuperTech for my lawnmower. I did. I figured, what the hell?
You started with an engine. You started with an engine that was sacrificial.
Yeah, straight 30. And you know what? It comes out every year, and it still didn't blow up. And then I think I used one of the cars in the family, one of the lower cars in the family. And I still don't buy it religiously for all my cars, but right. I don't feel as bad. I had to work my way up to it. And I've given this lecture to other people and said, listen, it's, you know, and it's a lot. I mean, for a 5-quart bottle of like 520 or 530, it's like $12.
Yeah.
You know, it's like
$12 or $13. So I was ready to walk away with my head held low, ready to walk away. But I saw that they had Quaker State for like $14.
Exactly.
And I'm like, Quaker State.
Yep.
Quaker State's probably the oil that they're using for the SuperTech.
You never know.
It's like $1. It's $1 more. I'm like, okay, I'll grab that.
Right.
It doesn't matter. I think of it the same way. There used to be a commercial, one of those car commercials, one of those motor oil commercials, where the guy's got a little cake car and he drives like across the screen and he blows this billow of white smoke, and there's a heavyset guy in the passenger seat and there's a little tiny guy driving the car, and the heavyset guy says, what motor oil are you using? And the little guy goes, motor oil. That's me.
Yeah.
I'm that little guy looking through the steering wheel. That's me. Motor oil. Why? Because it's going to get dumped out in 3,000 miles anyway. Yeah. Whatever it is, it's going to get dumped out in 4,000 if I'm really, really pushing it.
You know, while we're on the subject, I'll tell you this. I have increased my oil change interval on all my cars.
Oh, you have?
Oh, I certainly have. It's 4,000 at least now. And like my wife's car, her Cruise, has an oil life monitor. If I go into the system display, and it shows me percentage. So like right now, I think it's like, oh, it's 60%, you know, useful. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at it.
Do you reset your monitor when you change your oil?
Yes.
I always forget to, and then I fight with it.
Yeah, the oil change. Well, some of them are real easy. Like her car is super simple. On the stalk, on the directional stalk, there's a button that puts you into the display, all the different displays, tire pressure and blah, 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 all the different things, the computer stuff. You go into oil, there's an oil life, oil change monitor, and you literally just hold the button in, like resetting the odometer, you know.
Correct.
Done. The Toyotas, you have to do a couple things. You have to get the odometer into trip A, then you'll shut the key off. It's got to go into trip A. No, trip A, shut the key off, turn the key on, hold it, and then it'll the RAV4 is like one or two steps more than the FJ. So the Toyota's a little more involved.
It's funny, I remember you mentioned your 78 Honda Accord.
Yeah.
Do you remember how to reset the oil life light on that?
I don't remember that it had one.
There was one, maybe it was in the early 80s. I had a very good friend of mine that brought her car to get it oil changed. Then she came back and she said they never turned the little indicator light on. There was this little red square on the dash. There were, I think, two other squares.
Okay.
But one of them was the oil life square. And she said, I can't get that light off. I have to go back there. I said, give me your ignition key. She gave me the ignition key and there was a little slot that was under that little indicator red square.
Oh, wow.
And you slid the key in.
That's easy.
And it changes to green. And then you slid the key out.
Nice.
Into the back door. I'm like, done. There you go.
That's easy.
There you go. That was easy.
That's easy.
But yeah, my Explorer is very easy. Just like you say, you go into the information mode, go to oil life, go to reset. You're done. Go out. Done.
The other thing is if you have a scan tool, and you don't have to have a top line. You know, you don't have to have a Modus or a Solus. You don't have to have a big, you know, one of the multi-thousand-dollar tool company scanners. I have one called a Blue Driver. It's like a dongle that plugs into your ALDL port, and it communicates wirelessly with your phone or tablet or computer. Ooh. So your phone now becomes the scanner, pretty much.
Display.
So everything is on there. And through that, you can go into Oil Life, and you can change it and reset it.
Nice!
Yeah.
How much was something like that? Was it?
The
expensive?
Blue, look up Blue Driver. I think they're around $100, roughly.
Ballpark figure.
Yeah,
okay.
Roughly $100. But now I recently bought another Autel scanner. You know, you have an Autel. I had an Autel for years, but they have one at Tiretown, and I was at Tiretown last week, by the way, and it was just a small little. You know, small thing with a cord, and they use it when you have an inspection because they plug it in. They just want to check the readiness monitors. It's real. I said, hey, that's kind of cool. It's a nice, easy check. It does other things as well, but I'm like, hey, I looked it up. You can get it at Walmart for $35. So I did.
You did.
Well, I have other scanners, but this one is a nice, quick, and easy one. You can slip in your pocket if you want to go out and check a car quick just to check monitor. You don't have to go through all sorts of startup, you know, menus and cycles. Bang, you plug it in, it's there.
Got it. And yeah, but it's not going to be as intricate as the Joe D scanner.
No.
That the Etch-a-Sketch that he had.
No, there's no graphing mode. There's no higher level diagnostics, but it will give you live data. It'll give you, some of them will give you TPMS data. It'll give you.
What else do you need?
Well, really, it's the readiness monitors that'll let you know if you're ready for inspection, and that's why they had a couple of them hanging there. So, yeah, that's there's other ways of doing it. You don't have to spend a lot, $35. You can spend $35 and you can. Now, I don't. Well, you know what? I have to take that back. I don't know if that thing will reset an oil monitor. I don't know.
Oh,
I haven't looked. It might, but I haven't checked. That's not why I got it. So, yeah, those are things that you do. You know, but the monitor, if you don't set it, it'll come back because it'll find its cycle and it'll come on when you least expect it.
I remember, I think I told you this, and I mentioned this on the show. Joe one time checked with that Etch-a-Sketch. I call it an Etch-a-Sketch. Yeah. It was probably an Autel, but it was a multi-thousand-dollar piece of equipment. And he checked something on my Jeep and actually asked me, like he turned to me, like ready to give me like this dire news. And he turned to me and said, did you have a bad CD in your radio? And I looked at him and I was like, you found out about my bad CD.
Right.
I was shocked that he was able to pinpoint such intricacies.
Oh yeah, if you really look,
it's amazing.
I've actually done that, not when I was doing a repair or a diagnostic, just when I had some free time. I'll go out and plug a scanner into the car and sit there and just dope around with it and play.
Wow.
And just to get a you know, accustomed with it, to see, you know, again, to get more acquainted with it. Joe did it every day, so he's a whiz with it. Me, not so much. I need to, every time, I got to go back and like, okay, where was that? Where was this? Joe, hey, where was
yeah, right. Where's Joe's number?
Just listen, you dummy, I told you that last time. So.
That is the truth. No, it's true. 516-572-7440. This is definitely an open phone day on this very rainy Sunday, Memorial Day weekend. And Ray and I are just chatting it up here, just basically just you know, blowing off steam.
Yeah.
Basically. Hey, I got to tell you something. Did you ever do a job just to use up new parts?
I don't think so. Elaborate.
I know, you got it. It's called the GTO. I know, right?
Well, no. Elaborate, and I'll tell you if I have or not.
I purchased those. You and I discussed this. They're those piece of tar paper, thick tar paper.
Oh, for inner fender felt.
Fillers,
yes.
The inner fender fillers.
Right.
I had purchased the set for the Chrysler. I had purchased the clips that hold down the harness. The harness that goes from the front of the car to the firewall runs along either side of the wheel wells.
Right.
And has these very unique clips. I had purchased those.
Are those the long... The long plastic ones, they're oblong.
Actually very thin. They're very thin, and they're kind of almost like spring loaded on either side.
Yeah.
So they can take in a certain amount of wires or not a lot of wires and still sit neatly up against the fender well. I also purchased the sticker, the emission sticker for the fender.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah, went through the whole thing.
Hey,
and
get
I thought
the jack sticker too. Come on, really?
Yeah, I'm looking for it.
Yeah.
So I had all these things sitting on top of my tool bench, and I said, all I have to do is pull that wheel well out of the car. And that was the nicety about this Chrysler, is that, I guess it's because it's not only a Chrysler, it's a Plymouth, it's a Dodge, so everything is bolt in, bolt out. You can get the wheel well out of the car without taking the fender off. And I know you said you had the same issue with your GTO. With mine, you can literally turn it and twist it and contort it in a way it'll fall in your lap.
Yeah.
So it was kind of cool. I was able to take the bolts. I used the inductor and I heated up most of the bolts and got them all loosened out, and then was able to remove the fender well. And I just sanded it, shot it black, and put it back in. But in the process, I was able to use the fender well filler and the new clips. I was able to use the new clips to run the harness the way it should be.
Yes.
And why there were wires that were flipped and twisted is beyond me. I had to start unplugging things and plugging them back in and run it all. And mind you, this stuff all takes time. You can't just poop this out. You know, this isn't a 10-minute job. And of course, you know, my wife comes out and goes, what are you doing? She sees the same wires there for an hour. So and that's what I did. I took care of all that and put it all back together again just to use up those parts.
Okay.
But I had a laugh. This was this is like the minutia show.
Mm-hmm.
I had the sticker.
Mm-hmm.
Now the sticker needed to be affixed to the wheel, inner portion of the wheel well. How do you affix it? Do you affix it upside down? So if you're at the driver's fender, you turn your head and now you're looking down at it, but everything is right side up because your head is upside down. Or do you turn it right side up? So if you're standing at the grill of the car, you could look at it and read it correctly. That was the minutia question I had.
Okay, what information's on the sticker?
It's basically emissions information and some adjustments.
Okay, I would say as viewed from the grill. That's how I would say.
Know how I figured it out?
No.
I took a picture of the residue that was still there.
Forensic residue.
Yes. And I found the number 2.
Oh, geez.
That was the only legible number in this residue of the old sticker.
Uh-huh.
And I looked on the new sticker for where the number 2 was.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it was upside down.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The sticker had to be upside down order for the tech to hold on to the fender and dip his head down, which, of course, Chrysler putting something upside down, of course, makes perfect sense.
I wonder if that was if there was or wasn't an assembly line procedure for that, and it was like wherever the guy, like when they do chalk marks, like wherever they, you know, they put it in, you know, that's where they put it. It was an arbitrary.
Oh, I believe it.
Possibly.
I believe
you'd have to look at other cars to see. See, if you went to the car show today, you'd know. So
yeah, true. You're right. But you know what? I think if they put it on incorrectly, which basically it's very possible with me. If I put it on incorrectly, I just go spend the $6, get myself another sticker.
Yeah, there you go.
That's it.
GM,
problem solved.
GM typically did that. They put them like under the hood or on the front cowl area. But yeah, everybody, they all did it different. Yeah, it's a good question.
It was, because I'm looking at the sticker. I'm going, okay, where does it go? Right side up, upside down? What does it do?
Right.
So yeah, it's one of those silly things that no one ever talks about on shows.
Well, there you
but
go.
People see. Everybody sees it, and everybody knows. There's always some guy that will know from just a glance or just a photo. Oops, that's upside down. Or, ooh, that's right side up. Or, and I'll tell you, the C-body guys, the Chrysler guys, these guys will tear cars apart.
Hey, well, tell me. Tell them to like step up and find ways to get more parts for them, and then they can tear them apart.
Yeah, it's the truth.
You guys are at a loss over there.
We completely are. It's amazing how much of a loss we are. We are the last bastion of big convertibles that aren't worth as much as the rest of them. Yep. It's the truth.
Like everything else, because of years, that stuff's going to come up. You'll see. They're great cars. I mean, people love them. In all the 70s TV shows I watch, I love it when the big C-body pulls up with hidden headlights. Like, oh, look at that car. That guy's got stature and class, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying, he didn't go for the Velare. He didn't go for, like, the stripper satellite. No, he went for the 300.
The Imperial.
Right. Exactly. Those cars were like, even Perry Mason, you know, driving a four-door, suicide-door Lincoln, you know? It's like, hey, that guy had some stature in
I think every Quinn Martin production in the 70s was sponsored by Chrysler Corporation. I think every one of them. Either that or American Motors, one or the other. Mm-hmm. And General Motors and Ford were like, forget it.
Even the Beverly Hillbillies. You know, Drysdale was in an Imperial, and, you know, Miss Jane drove different, you know, like B-bodies, I think A-body once or twice. And
do you remember what the Beverly Hillbillies car was?
1920 Buick.
Oh, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, I think
it was an Oldsmobile.
Oh, Oldsmobile Buick, okay.
Oldsmobile Buick.
I could be wrong, yes.
I thought it was an Oldsmobile.
Okay.
Fact check us, 516-572-7440. Well,
and now we're at the bottom of the hour, so do we have our honored and vaulted bottom of the hour tribute on this show, the Motor Mouth Radio? Thing we do at the bottom of the hour, do we have them?
Of course, Ray, this is the Motor Mouth Radio show, so of course we have the Motor Mouth Radio on a group of the hour. Drivers that use their signal lights at their own discretion. Are you the type that signals as you're diving into the next lane on the highway, like, gangway, I'm coming in? Or do you put your signal light on 6 miles before you have to make the turn so everybody knows what you're doing? Or do you not use it at all when you think nobody's around? Well, do these signal light rules and regulations irritate your spouse? Well, if you've written your own signal light usage rule book, then you're part of the Motor Mouth Radio on a group of the hour.
Oh, you have driven in New York, haven't you?
Yes, yeah, once in a while.
You've seen that happen way too many times.
That's for sure.
So, with that, we will take a break right now, and we'll be back with more Motor Mouth Radio. We'll hear another a little more contemporary music that people might know. And if you wanted to,
right here on the Jazz Show,
if you wanted to really get back at your wife, you might want to play this. But I like the song, I like the band. You'll see the tie-in in a minute, and we'll be back with more. Keep where you got it on 90.3 WHPC.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Limbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose which shop will fix your car. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with a rental car arrangement if needed. All repairs include the CarStar Lifetime Nationwide Warranty, ensuring that the experts at Celebrity Chase Collision are always on your side.
Y si hablamos español.
More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or visiting online at celebritychasecollision.com.
You're listening to the Motor Mouth.
Oh.
You know them.
So nice talking to you guys. I miss you.
You love them.
I heard you talking about us, so I thought I'd call in.
Vote them out.
You want to serve dinner to them.
How you doing, guys? Sorry to interrupt.
How are you, Ray?
Chris is the sharpest drill bit, right?
This is the first time that I'm actually listening live and working on a car.
Our trained staff of two will help.
I'll call you back when I have the solution.
Well, thanks a lot, guys. That definitely points me in the right direction.
No, hold your breath. I hope you're sitting down.
Vote them out.
A tornado of urban legend and BS.
No, I'm not going to wax my Johnson. I'm going to wax my Evan Root.
As always, you are consummate professional.
When I listen on my laptop, I got to keep that thing screaming.
I don't mean to blow you up on the airwaves.
Quite frankly, there are better things to do with your time.
Oh, this is why I call wrong number by accident.
I want you all to know, sometimes I don't even wear pants.
I have no clue, and I can't hit it with a hammer to fix it.
Yeah, I want to know what the is wrong with my car.
So I got to give you guys a call and talk to you.
Vote him out.
I'm in the car now.
They're going to talk about working on cars, but not going to work on yours.
There is no answer, and it makes you think, and I like the things that make you think.
What are you doing here?
I'm on break.
Okay, good. So are we.
There are answers, sometimes correct ones, and we may have them.
Motormouth Radio, 90.3 FM, WHPC.
Motormouth!
Got a car question? Give the Motormouths a call at 516-572-7440.
All right, if you're done ragging, or if you're not done ragging, we're back. Motormouth Radio, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer, and we're here to talk about all of your car concerns and stuff. And you're right, Chris, you are correct. As usual, the car was a Oldsmobile Model 46, a 1921, So I even had the year wrong. And wow. I call myself a Beverly Hillbillies aficionado. I ought to be shot. So.
Wow, look at you admitting defeat.
Yeah, you know.
Admitting television trivia defeat.
And I'll tell you a little piece of trivia about me. I was such a Beverly Hillbillies fan, always have been, that back in the 90s, I think it was. Yeah, the early 90s. It was on TV, I think, in the afternoon.
Sure.
And I recorded every episode on VHS tape.
Wow.
With the commercials edited out, all but one. There was one Christmas episode they didn't air. And, of course, now I have them all on DVD, so, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Such work for nothing.
You know what? Isn't that what we do, though, really? Isn't that just...
Yes.
I was talking to someone the other day, and... Oh, it was on a Thursday night. I'm playing in traffic. And we were talking about the art of splicing tape, audio tapes. And
oh, whatnot, yeah, sure.
Right?
Now, I miss it.
Something you know very well. And we said, yeah, look at all that work that was gone through. Like now you have these audio programs, even Audacity, the one I use, which is free. And you can literally just cut, clip, paste, like, no bloody fingers from the razor blades and tape stuck to your nose and head.
You know? Oh my gosh, yes, yes.
Right.
I remember all those days. And I enjoyed every one of them, but yeah. Boy, some of them were really miserable.
Well, you know, like doing anything with your hands, it was a real art form. I never rose to the levels of it that I'm sure you were at, but I did have my hands in it to a small degree. And it is a lot of fun, especially when, hey, what you did works. Like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I remember when I was in college and we used to do remixes. And you would just watch how the remix was sculpted on a quarter-inch reel of tape.
Yeah.
Just to watch the edit splices going by as the tape is spinning across the heads was entertaining in itself.
Right.
I mean, yeah, we drank a lot.
With that, I got to thank Cliff. Our good friend Cliff had sent a clip on the Beverly Hillbillies, and he tried to call, but we were on a break. You couldn't get in, so thanks, Cliff. We appreciate it. I was in the garage one day last week, and of course, I still have a cassette player out there that I listen to my old cassettes on. And
oh, wow.
I picked out one that I had made back in the 80s. And, you know, my version of a mixtape was different than other people's version of a mixtape. You know, everybody was doing songs. I took Deep Purple's Machine Head album. And what I did is I had my Hi-Fi VHS forehead, you know, VHS deck that I piped into the stereo. And what I did is I took clips from my favorite Martian, the TV show, audio clips. I just took the audio off, obviously, and used those to lead into songs from Deep Purple. And even now, when I listen to that 30 years later, I'm like, wow, some of those really lead in well. They really talk about kind of like what was going on. And,
wow.
But I was scrubbing through my, like when you do a promo, I was scrubbing through my favorite Martian episodes, finding the right ones and remembering, okay, which episode, which clip. You got to make like a freaking spreadsheet of what's going to go where. And then you got to actually do the actual clip. And I'm doing it in real.
Physical work.
I'm doing it in real time. So it's play record, you know, and it's like, okay, stop, pause. You know, you're like Wolfman Jack over there.
Oh, you were doing punch editing?
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
That's what it's called. I didn't even know what it was called.
Wow. Yeah, you punch it in, punch it out with a pause button.
Well, if you think
good
of it.
Good God, man.
If you think of it, I had the TV shows recorded on VHS tape that were now in the VHS deck.
Right.
So I took the audio out. Now, I could see it on the TV. I actually had a monitor. I could see it on the TV and hear it. But I had my cassette deck queued up, you know, ready to record. So I would, like, you know, get ready to play the audio clip from the VHS, but of course record on the cassette deck. Then right. I had to like, not as much stop the VHS, but pause the cassette when that piece of the clip was over. Then I would put the needle on the turntable, record the song.
Wow.
And I didn't do fade in. I couldn't do fade ins, fade outs. That was too complicated. But yeah, I did that through the whole Machine Head album, and it was.
And if you messed up, you had to go back and re-record over again.
The whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Patience of a saint, young man.
Well, you know what? That was back in the 80s when I was in my 30s and I was young. And I said, hey, you know what? This was cool. Hey, you know what? Instead of everybody's talking mixtape this, mixtape that. Yeah, mixtape your ass. You know what the hell you're talking about. So, hey, you put Billy Squire on and you put the Stroke. And No. I'm going to make a mixtape. That's my version of a mixtape.
You always had to do it that one better.
And that's the thing. But I was not being a DJ or in the profession ever. I still appreciate. I've always appreciated the genre and the craft, if you will, you know. Mm-hmm. And I wish now looking back, I wish I would have done it like you did. I wish I would have been here back when I was a student because I would have gotten some firsthand, you know, hands-on real practice with that, but never did.
Sure.
So again, it's just, you know, paying homage to the stuff that you appreciate. And hey, yeah, I'm a hack. I'm an amateur, but hey, amateurs have fun.
You did it.
Amateurs have fun too.
Oh,
and you
yes.
know what? We don't have to live up to other people. I didn't have Mike Sims stand there over me saying, what are you doing? Whack!
No, you needed him.
You're right. Yeah.
My grandmother could have did a better than that.
I know.
We used to, in my school, just real fast, in my school, at the radio station in college, there was a certain elite bunch that would mix tapes really, really well. And somebody, if you did a bad mix, guys would abuse you.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Terribly.
Let's take that call. Let's see if we can get some abuse on the phone. We'll say, hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
You guys say I'm a masochist with the way I build cars?
That, Jesse John. Yeah, hey, listen, John. And you were a DJ, so you know from what we speak, right?
Yeah. But I'm a DJ in the years of mixers.
Right.
And,
when were you
and
a DJ, John?
You know, they were 12-inch disco singles, so it was fade in, fade out, scratch, scratch.
Right.
Sure.
Well, like everything else, like I said, I mean, I've done a little bit of, you know, and again, amateur DJing, and I always said when parties at the house, yeah, raise the DJ. I was always at the stereo controlling all the stuff. But never made money at it, but I still always had the love for and the passion for it, right? Because I was talking with John about it. He was one of the guys we were talking with on Thursday night about this.
Right.
So, yeah, John, it's like with car building, you know, you're a master chassis builder. You're up there, you know, you're a professional at it. But there's guys like us who play around and, you know, and we have fun too. You know, some of us, maybe our cars fall apart and we hit a bump. But then we come to guys like you. And fork over the scuttle, you know?
Yeah. That's it. It's good to be able to play.
Right. So listen, tell us, you got this new tool in the shop now. Tell us about that. It looks like a real winner.
Oh, yeah. It's a throatless shear where do yourself a quick one. Google Beverly Shear.
Beverly Shear.
Beverly Throatless
cheer.
You're probably going to get like a porn star that comes up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No.
Yeah, well, have you done it?
It's a piece of equipment that bolts to your workbench.
Hang on, Chris.
And it's got two curved opposing blades with a handle that you pull. And the top blade will then press the material against the bottom blade and shear like a scissor.
John, I don't know, but I'm getting videos that are going. Is that it? Am I at the right one? There's a plumber walking into the house here.
It's a TV repairman.
He's fixing pipes here. What is this?
He's got a big wrench. Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Beverly.
Yes.
Beverly. Wait a minute. Oh, my gosh. One of them is mentioning a throat here.
Yeah, that's the other key word. If you put that
wait
in.
Wait a minute. I was only kidding. My wife looks at this computer.
Yeah, she'll be. You'll have a fun dinner conversation.
I got an answer to this.
Yeah. Blame it on John. It's all right.
Wait a minute. The place is called Trick Tools. Hold on.
Oh, great.
That's a good place.
Yeah.
John, what have you done to me, John?
Where did you get yours from, John?
I got mine from Eastwood.
Okay, Eastwood, right.
Okay.
Yeah, I have an account with them, and I have not bought anything from them yet that I said, oh, this is junk.
Right. You know, Eastwood does have some great stuff. You're right.
Yeah, and for the size that I got, I did a lot of research, and for the size I got, they actually had a much better price than everyone else. So I grabbed it, and 2 days later, boom, there it was at my place.
Beautiful.
And you can make beautiful straight cuts, curved cuts to the left, curved cuts to the right. You just, as you pull, you steer the material through the two blades.
Right.
And there's no kerf.
Right.
That you need to file away.
Right, right.
It's adjustable. Really good stuff. Nothing but good words for this thing, you know.
What's the material range that you can cut with that?
You can go up to, what did I tell you on that text I sent you?
I don't remember.
16 gauge steel. Okay.
Wow, that's steel. That's great. That's great.
Yeah.
Wait a sec. Hold on. I can tell you right away.
Beautiful. Yeah, when you're doing sheet metal work, that's something like that is key. I still use my hand shears. I have a pair of pneumatic shears, and I have an electric pair too that I use, but
right.
You know, each one is, but that tool really does get you to that finite level.
Yeah, I guess it's that handle that gives you the
leverage. One that I bought is a 4-inch throatless shear, which allows you to make tighter radius curves.
Right.
And it's up to 14-gauge mild steel and 18-gauge stainless.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's great.
So that in that gauge range, it's perfect for the aluminum and the sheet steel that would typically go into a car.
Sure. And, you know, Matt Goman Bryan was saying he was working on getting an agreement deal with Eastwood, right? He was
talking
about that. He was talking about that a few weeks ago on Thursday night. He was talking about trying to get a... Yeah, I'm sure it was Brian because nobody else would have been talking about it. because he was going to go. He was going to visit the facility. I think he was going to go there and visit them and see if he could get a deal. So
yeah, they have a lot of good stuff.
Yeah, because I think we were talking about welders at the time, and that's what he said. Hold off on a purchase. Maybe he was telling Terry, hold off on a purchase because if I get this deal with Eastwood, you know, then you know when I get a deal, everybody gets a deal. <It's>
like, good.
Yeah.
Definitely. Well, I have one of their MIG welders, and it's been flawless. And I'm a Miller guy, but I sold my Miller MIG years and years ago before we moved here to Florida, and then came time that I needed one. And I did a lot of research, looked around, and I'm like, well, you know, it's not going to be used heavily every day. In other words, as if we were running a full-time business. Constantly welding. If that was the case, I would have went right back to another Miller.
Right.
Not a problem.
Right.
For a hobbyist or somebody that's doing light stuff, their equipment's amazing. I mean, I've welded some really heavy stuff on this new car that I'm building here.
Yeah.
The duty cycle is way high enough
on a 250-amp unit that you never have to worry about, you know, shutting down and letting the system cool off for a second or two.
Right, right.
You just pull the trigger and go. So it's light, it's small, it's an inverter style.
Right.
Yeah, it comes from overseas, but, hey, it works perfectly.
Well, that's the stuff that guy Doc down in Florida was selling a couple of years ago. He was selling the inverter machines, and they were all combo machines. But they call them suitcase machines. They're very light. You can carry them around. There's no big transformer is what the thing is.
Right.
It's all MOSFET technology. Yeah.
Right. This one is the same thing, but I specifically bought MIG only.
Right. Yep.
And then, I have my TIG welder from Miller.
Right, right.
So I have everything I need. I also have your plasma cutter.
Uh-huh.
Which I would recommend if somebody's going to do stuff, you need instead of using an oxyacetylene torch,
mm-hmm.
fantastic. You just have to have a compressor that's capable of, you know, moving a good quantity of air.
Right, right.
So I have a big compressor. I don't have to worry about that. You just dial it into what you need, and it's awesome. And it uses good stuff. Tweco. It has a Tweco gun on it.
Oh, cool.
So same thing on the MIG welder. The Tweco gun that they use. So getting parts that you kind of beat up, you know, tips and things like that, it's as close as the local welding store or, you know, hitting up Amazon or going to a website that sells welding supply.
Google that one, Chris. Tweco gun. See what you find on that.
Whoa, now.
Hey, speaking of that, John, I was thinking to you the other night. I'm watching some YouTube videos and, you know, buying about, you know, different states because we're thinking about relocation at some point. And there was a couple Florida ones I'm watching. The guy's down in Sarasota. And he says, now the big thing in Florida is pool chillers. People are putting in, he goes, now you want to look for a pool chiller. Where they actually, you know, they run it overnight and drop the temperature a couple degrees. Because he says the pool's down here like 94 degrees. He goes, and that's a sauna. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, typically what you use down here is a heat pump.
Okay.
Which can run in either direction.
Yeah, okay.
The compressor can run in either direction. And that's what you use for your home.
Right. Right.
Everybody here has electric heat. So, yeah. Basically, you're running your air conditioner 24/7, 365. Every now and then you get days where, you know, where it never comes on. You open up some doors and windows or whatever.
Right.
But the pool heater is a giant compressor unit like a large air conditioning unit. And the water runs through, a titanium core.
Mm-hmm.
And it removes, it puts heat into the pool. And the newer ones are able to run in reverse.
That's right.
A bit more expensive, but it does is it just moves the oil in the opposite direction through the condenser.
You know, that's why
You're either putting heat in or you're taking heat out.
Exactly. I put in the Mr. Slim ACs and heat units at my house years ago. It's the same thing. It just reverses the pump. And in the winter, you get heat. And in the summer, you get AC. So, same idea. Yeah. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
So everybody should have that problem of, oh, my pool is too hot to go in.
I know. Right, exactly. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
All right.
A pool cooler. Wow.
All right, John.
All right. I am getting ready to do some more welding on this brand new housing.
Nice. Beautiful.
And I'll probably put some posts up on Instagram later tonight.
Excellent. And we'll catch
you
during the week.
Guys.
And then we'll see you again on Thursday night on Playing in Traffic.
Right. Have yourself a nice holiday tomorrow. And take care.
All right, John. So long.
Thanks, John.
Bye-bye. All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Be safe. Bye-bye.
That's our buddy Chassie John from down in Florida. He's our Long Island transplant who we play with every Thursday night on Playing in Traffic. We get to see what he's doing because it's video-based. So
yes, that is true.
Check out his great Firebird projects that he's doing. It's a lot of fun.
His classic garage. That is true. 516-572-7440. We still have a little bit of time to take a little bit of time to take a call or two. I had a laugh. Just recently, I was waiting for a phone call. And what was it? Wednesday. It was still warm. And I decided to clean something stupid. Did you ever try and do this? Clean something stupid? I got the top down on the 300, and I'm looking at the A-pillars, the corners, right where the windshield turns to go down to meet with the vent window.
Yeah.
And I noticed that the two little corners there are painted.
Okay.
And they were, like, dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought to myself, at the top up, I never cleaned those.
Right.
So, and I had to adjust the little hook
that bolts that locks the top to the header of the convertible top to the top of the windshield. I had to adjust that. And it took a little bit of finagling, but I got it adjusted. So that's why I had the top down. But I noticed that I sat there with a little bit of compound, a little white compound, and I just massaged it in there and I cleaned both of those things. They were gold. I thought they were like dirt.
Oh, wow.
They actually were painted gold. Mm-hmm. And I thought to myself, you know, it was kind of therapeutic to actually sit down and do something I had never even considered. Everything else you consider in a vehicle. It was like one of those two dopey things. I went, you know what? I'm just going to sit here and clean them. And I spent literally like 45 minutes just massaging, because you know that paint is going to be really, really thin.
Yeah.
So I just sat there with the white compound and just worked it in and got it to it shines pretty well. And I'm actually quite impressed. I went, wow, they were probably never clean.
That's kind of like what I do, like when I wash the car. You know, my last car was a hatchback. The new one has a rear door. And in that door, by the weather stripping, you get a lot of gunk and tree stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And especially on top on this one, you can't see it unless you step on the bumper. And the last guy didn't do anything. I literally removed the weather strip to get in there with a brush.
Oh.
So now every time I wash it, it's just a white, quick wipe down in a, you know, in a brush. But you did my daughter's RAV4 the same thing. No one had ever cleaned that. So the first time it was like, oh my word, what a job. And inside the doors, I always like to get inside those, you know, the doors on the top and all. So yeah, that's what I spend a little extra time on that obviously a lot of people don't.
You know. When I used to, as a kid, young man, when I used to work at the dealership and at the used car lot, I would clean the inside of the doors, and actually the boss would deter me not to do that. He always said, if you clean the inside of the doors, a customer feels that the car was in like a body shop. And I always thought that was kind of weird.
I think car is definitely, you know, we just to divert, my refrigerator we talked about last week, I'm having it repaired. The repair isn't done yet, but the fellow who's doing it, the technician, was outside looking at my truck. He really likes it. So he jumped in the back. I opened the door and he jumped in and he's like, wow, it's really clean in here. I'm like, yeah, one thing I hate is a dirty vehicle. I said, it just so happens it's just yesterday I vacuumed it and cleaned up. Just, you know, you do a little bit when it's a little dirty, and now it looks really good because you don't have to do a lot of bit. You know, it's
right.
You do it in small little bits. So, you know, he commented on it. I said, yeah, I think that's always a good thing. If people notice, like, oh, my God, your vehicle's so clean, well, shoot me. You know? Sorry. Go visit Rob's car. He's got a T-Rap deck and reel-to-reels in the back.
Right. Donut boxes.
Twinkies. Ho-hos. You know, the whole, yeah. Jeez. We've done shows on that. Please.
Yes. Yes. Listen back. Go to motormouthradio.com. Listen back to some of the shows.
Actually, yes. If you follow us, and you should, on our website, Twitter, and what's the other one? Facebook is Motor Mouth Radio. And if you go to Instagram, it's real_MotorMouthRadio. And on our website, we have under the on the blogs link, the blogs tab up on top, we have old shows that you could listen to. And that's where the old Mother's Day shows are and all. And you can, you're not going to go, well, yeah, we don't have a deep, deep archive like we had in the past. But we have we're building a decent one. And you can go to YouTube, too. It's Motor Mouth Videos on YouTube. And but that's really just like more like promo stuff that we did and whatnot.
True. But, we don't have any videos of any one of our cars or any.
No,
cars
but
that
we have
discussed.
The channel. There's a second channel, the one that you had started, because I have them both saved and I see them every day. That one has like when you had the camera in the studio back in the day.
Right.
Those are up there too. But that's, I guess if you do a search, you'll find it. I don't remember the exact.
Oh yeah, link. And they're there, and they're hour long shows, and if you just want to watch our heads just bopping around in the studio, that's basically what you. I guess it's probably pretty good now because you can't see that now. We're not in the studios. You're in the studio, yeah. But obviously, I'm not there. So, but yeah, to see more than one person in the studio doing a radio show is probably a pretty rare feat nowadays.
And I'll tell you where we are now. Now we're gone. We got to get out of here because Kim is coming in to do her show. So, Chris, what do we always say before we leave?
Don't follow us home, and make sure you talk to Beverly Shearer about her Tweeco gun.
Exactly. We'll see you next week on Motor Mouth Radio for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino, 90.3 WHPC. See ya.
See ya.